Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
All about improving your team, and the Braves are trying to do that. Alex Anthopoulos, our general manager, is working the phones. But deals have already been made. We're live at Hooters Guys Mall of Buford location at Stoops and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Camp day 5 of Falcons training camp went down today, and we'll tell you the latest on what we saw and things that happened. Also, our conversation with the kicker. And you may go, well, it's a big deal. And you guys know that, especially over the last couple of seasons. Having a good kicker, guys, one that's confident, one that you believe in, matters. So you will hear Nick Folk coming up a little bit later on. But, Mike, let's talk about what the Braves have done so far. And let's start from where this was this weekend, because okay. They get Lane Thomas, right, an outfielder from the Royals. And you go, all right, okay, so they go, you know, get another bat. And here is a guy that's going to play mostly platoon with Yastrzemski in left field.
He's the righty. He'll hit right-handers.
Correct. And so he played mostly center field, but he's got versatility. And the deal is, guys, you go get this guy because, one, we needed a bat, additional bat, right-handed bat, right, as Mike mentioned, and he's a guy that hits for average. So we got enough power, guys, if these guys live up to it. We've been seeing that. Olsen, Acuna, Riley, hell, even Ozzy at times, Harris. But this is something this lineup has been missing. So it fills a void, and Alex went and addressed it. But then, Mike, we get
to – It does create a back – now, again, Kim's coming back on the roster.
So I'm glad you mentioned that, because a decision has to be made with Ha-Seong Kim.
Yeah, you got to cut Ha-Seong Kim. And I know Mateo's become a fan favorite, but Dubon will play shortstop. You'll have your platoon in the outfield. And, again, Yaz will hit against righties, and Lane Thomas will hit against lefties. And there will be the piece. But they're just going to have to eat that Ha-Seong Kim money because they're running out of roster spaces. They're presumably going to try. I cannot imagine we're not going to trade for one more starting pitcher before 6. and those pitching spots are going to be at a premium. They're going to have to make some roster moves.
Well, but you're right. And I also think, and again, these are our hopes, guys. I mean, if it doesn't happen, we'll tell you about it by 6 o'clock. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't mean that we weren't trying. And I will give them credit. I didn't expect 3 moves. To be honest with you, I thought we'd go get a bullpen piece, which we did. We'll talk about in just a second. But I want to get back to Kim real quick. Jim Jarvis is taking his job. Jim Jarvis is playing well enough.
I think they DFA Jarvis and Bowman, and I should say then
Dubon.
Dubon gets the job.
Well, it may be, because here's the problem that they're running into, or that they will have. It's a good problem to have. Dubon's bat has been consistent enough that you feel confident that he needs to be in the lineup. Jim Jarvis, hit or miss, but good defensively.
Right.
This is an issue when you say, well, who's going to take Kim's spot? Guys, we've been in first place all year and hadn't seen nothing from the $20 million Ha-Seong Kim. So there's no reason right now for me to buy in August that he's going to come and help change this team. So, yeah, Jim Jarvis, I think, is going to be there. I don't think they're going to do anything with him. But the long story is Mike's right. They got to make a decision. So what do you think about these pitches we picked up? Because that's where we're at right now.
Right. And by the way, they could send him down to Gwinnett, I believe. They got that flexibility.
Jim Jarvis, yes.
Okay, so we talked about Lane Thomas. The throw-in is a lefty named Bailey Falter. He's nothing special. Then they go and get Suter, not Bruce Suter. No relation to Bruce Suter, by the way. This is another Suter. This is Brett Suter from the Angels, Carl. And he is a guy that apparently is a left-handed pitcher that we only gave up Nacho Alvarez. So, you know, one thing we can always say about Alex Anthopoulos, he never gets fleeced. You know, it was a whole lot of nothing, basically, to get those guys from the Royals. Then we picked up Tyler Molly from the Giants. It's pronounced Molly. It looks like male. It's Molly. And we gave up right-handed pitcher Anthony Molina. So, Molly, another arm for the roster. I heard Grant talking about this earlier today on the morning shift. But still, that's there's got to be another arm. There's got to be another starter. There's got to be another starting pitcher before 6 o'clock.
So Molly is that, right? Suter is the bullpen guy. And
he's a lefty. Sorry, Suter's a lefty.
Yeah, but when you talk about Nacho Alvarez, it's funny because we'd say, hey, Nacho's coming up, and we were trying to figure out if he could play and if he was ever going to be good enough to make this big league club. But, you know, you're giving up a Nacho Alvarez for a 36-year-old guy. So that's the other part about this. This is, I don't believe, and you talk about deals that are just being done for this season. Okay, Suter, has had moments. 2023 had his best season. Maybe he comes here and, again, can do the job as a reliever for us and another lefty, which is something we needed out of the bullpen. But the starter is Molly, and that's the guy. And I'm not saying he's a quality starter. How I'm looking at him, Braves fans, is he's an innings eater, right? He's a depth piece. Mike is looking for a difference maker.
I'm looking for a guy.
And that is what we haven't done yet.
A clear number two behind Sale, a guy that's got, good stuff. I mean, you're either going to get a guy at the end of his career. We wanted DeGrom. We talked to the Rangers. DeGrom, he's not waiving his trade clause. He's going to stay with the Rangers.
Right.
So if you would want a DeGrom, he's not available. So what does that leave you? Okay, there's still some arms out there. I was surprised we didn't get in the mix with the Blue Jays for Gosman.
Yeah,
Cubs pulled the trigger on that.
Yeah, they did. Look, the Cubs are...
But again, to Carl's point, we don't know what they're asking.
Yeah.
There are certain assets that are going to be untouchable in the minor leagues. I get that. But I also think with no baseball next year likely, and the fact that you've got a team which has shown the resiliency to be 8 games up on the Phillies, this is a team I'd be willing to give prospects up to try to squeeze out one more World Series from this core group. Let's do it.
Yeah.
But I don't think maybe Alex doesn't see that. Alex is never going to come on our show and say, guys, I just don't see it with this team, But that's the reality. Are you willing, if there's guys that you feel are going to be a big part of this Braves franchise 3 to 5 years down the road, no way you're going to trade them, then that's the way you feel about it.
But, Mike, I do think these last 17 games will make or break. And the way that we played, I think, has kind of forced his hand to do more than maybe they expected to do. I'm not saying they weren't going to make a move, because he always does that. But I do think when you go 12-5 and you had 17 days of playing since the All-Star break, and everybody's like, well, what if we go on one of these bad losing streaks? What if the Phillies catch us? None of that happened. So I think with the way that the team has played has put the ball in the court of Alex Anthopoulos to say, hey, we're winning with this. What are you going to do to help us?
Right, right. And by the way, Mark Bowman had some information yesterday on Tyler Molly. 5.3 ERA, 18 starts. He missed a month with a left hamstring. He'll fit in perfectly with our pitching rotation, Carl. Left hamstring strain. That was in late May. Since he came back, 6 starts since June. And then, let's see, 3.06 ERA, 5 earned runs in over 5 and a third against the Padres. So it's a mixed bag. He is what he is at this stage. It's a guy that can, the most positive aspect will help you eat innings.
As I said, that's what he is.
But that's it.
But he's a depth piece. He's not a difference maker. And I know that's hard for Braves fans to accept. And I'm just telling you, from a baseball perspective, you need those guys as well. And here's the thing, Mike. And I don't know if they're thinking about who's coming back. I still keep looking at all these injuries and Waldrip and Schwelly and all these. I don't even know what to believe. And now with Ronaldo Lopez out for 15 days, he'll be back. But it's just one of those things. The pleasant surprise.
Suarez, too. And what's up with Robert Suarez?
Well, that's a good question. That's a really good question. The pleasant surprise, though, believe it or not, we're talking about the Braves guys, trade deadline, countdown until 6 o'clock, and we're just filling you in on what has happened so far. The pleasant surprise is Martin Perez. Martin Perez has pitched very well for us.
The story yesterday was pretty funny Saturday, how they woke him up from a nap, thought he was getting traded, and he goes in on 4 days. And again, he had some walks, but he had a no-hitter going through 6. How about that?
But even throughout the course of this season, if you look back at his starts and the games that he's won for us and where he's pitched well enough to win, he's kind of been one of those unsung heroes. So, again, and I'm not saying that, you get in the playoffs, you go, yeah, Martin Perez is on the hill. But those are the kind of things as this is why you are where you are. This is how you've maintained being in first place, is you've gotten a little bit of that from guys you didn't expect it to.
So left-hander, you mentioned Brent Suter from the Angels. And again, in lieu of what's going on with Suarez, we'll see if anything else. But I don't know. I was expecting a name. And again, we got 2 hours left. Just under 2 hours of the trade deadline.
But if they don't give you a name.
Well, then we're spinning our wheels. Then
what?
And now the Braves are here to whoever we take on in the playoffs. Let's say it's Milwaukee. And it's Chris Sale. And then it's Bryce Elder. And then it's Martin Perez. It's, again, Schwellenbach a pipe dream at this point, guys. Come on. Maybe not. This the reality of this is you had a chance to address this before the season began. The injuries have mounted. We've already talked about everything else. Waldrop, the whole shebang. It's just you don't have enough juice right now in your starting rotation. Unless, do you feel differently? You think Elder has figured out some things? His last couple starts more promising?
Oh, man. He's been so good at times and then so bad, right? I'd love to say yeah, but this is going to be our lot in life, Mike, I believe, with a bunch of average to mediocre rotational guys with what I think is going to be, if Suarez comes back, potentially a really good bullpen that might be able to carry you. And that's the big if. And that's only if the bats continue to produce.
But you still got, again, two more months left in the season. So, you know, unless you can find a real frontline starter along with Sale, to your point, you're going to be nailing your bullpen, man. There's just going to be dead meat, you know, and there's just – we've seen they've made more moves, I think, than I can remember in any season past. Well, no, check that. It's been like this for the last 8 years. This is the way they handle their pitching. Real quick, Bryce Elder, two earned runs, and then one earned run his last three efforts. So he's won – they won four of his last three of his last four starts. And, again, he's always
– scored runs.
Yeah, and the worst was the Pittsburgh game where he gave up the three home runs. He gave up two solo shots. The Baltimore game, the Washington game. So now, you know, he can just keep the ball in the park with nobody on base. You know, but either way, I'm feeling a little bit better about Elder, but still, that's no great shakes. You know, we're qualifying it.
And we shouldn't be. And that's the bigger thing, Braves fans. We should, our team and our city and certainly the Braves organization, we shouldn't be trying to say, well, if only.
Right. Granholms goes through five innings that people want to give him a cookie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I get it. It's just – it's been so exasperating. But, again, this is nothing new. You guys have seen this the last seven seasons.
All right, real quick, couple of college notes. We'll tell you about the Falcons training camp day five, full pads today. It's Dukes and Bell live at Hooters. Mike, Notre Dame and USC announced they're renewing their rivalry starting again in 2030. So, again, I think it's great for college football. We talk about this stuff.
Right.
We know a lot of teams, certainly conferences, are trying to get away from this and say, oh, well, you know, we don't have to play because of the demanding schedules. But they are going to meet week one in L.A. And play in 2030, and then the following year it'll be in South Bend.
Right. There have been some finger-pointing from both sides about, you know, the USC going to the Big Ten, and then do they, you know, was it their fault? I think the media kind of leaned on USC for it being their fault. They're getting it back. So the last game was last year, so we'll have 4 years without it, as you said, 2030. On the flip side, big, tough guy Kirk Cignetti saying, we don't hype and blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? Indiana just dropped Notre Dame. Indiana, it was at Indiana's request, and there was a lot of misinformation on that, and then a lot of folks did some digging. Chicago Sun-Times says, no, Indiana opted out of the Notre Dame home-and-home in South Bend and Bloomington. And the Day-Day just read us, they're out of conference for the next 4 years. Apparently, Notre Dame has been replaced by the Wisconsin School of Motorcycle Repair.
Oh, wow.
So
that's
that'll
a good
be
that's a good team.
Week one in Bloomington. No, it's ridiculous, man. Yeah, they scheduled Barbizon and Apex Tech as well.
Yeah, look, Cignetti is, and you're seeing it now, he is the master of soft scheduling.
Right.
Right? And then maneuvering it. And if you have a good enough team, which he did last year, you can get through it. I'm not saying they shouldn't have won a national championship, but how you schedule helps you through these rankings.
And I think, look, until you see the College Football Playoff Committee reward stronger schedules, which they haven't consistently, certainly not to the level, unless every SEC fan just has got an overblown sense of what this conference is, because that's what everybody says outside the SEC.
Yeah, they do.
But when you look at the conference schedule and you look at the opponents, there's just nothing with Indiana that stacks up against anything in the SEC. But you can't chirp because they won the title.
No.
And look, their schedule, strength of schedule, is number one because they beat all the teams they played in the playoffs.
We're counting down to the Dogs starting their camp, guys. Connor Riley's going to join us tomorrow from Dog Nation as we gear up for the college football season. But when we come back, Jack Strand, what was going on with him today? Wanya Morris, is he our right tackle or not? And Drake London, pretty vocal today. Stay there. It's Duke's.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a bell. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, hanging out at Hooters, Hooters, Hooters. It's Mall of Georgia location, as Mike said. If you just tuned in, we'll be back here on Wednesday after Falcons training camp. And then again on Friday. Tomorrow, actually, will actually be at camp. So if you're going to Falcons training camp in the afternoon, because it's an afternoon practice, you'll get a chance to see us out there under our big tent and hanging right. out, man. So stop by and say hello.
And again, with kids back in school, I mean, it's if you want to have like one-on-one with the players, that's a good day to be out there at Falcons camp. But yeah, a lot of kids in Metro Atlanta. Now, I think it's official, right? Everybody's back to school now?
Next week.
Next week for some?
Next week, yeah.
But right now, some. Next week, everybody.
Yeah. It's going to be – it's weird, too, today because – like, for example, last week, you know, baby Cam, the right. Carolina fan, was in here, and he had his entire family, and all the kids are back in school, so he's busy, and you start
the future
seeing
of Mill Creek football
yeah,
is here.
Yeah, yeah everybody was yeah. here, and you start to realize, oh, man, kids are back in school today. How was traffic, by the way, for you this morning?
A living hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it was, there was just, I was sitting there like, I really want to see practice. I want to see some of it. Got to see about 10 minutes of it today. But no, it was midtown. I couldn't tell if it was a combination of the school traffic, because just to get to my exit, to get on the interstate, there's a lot of folks that aren't
sure.
normally there. And then,
sure.
I'm not sure, maybe folks are wrapping up their vacations, like everybody's coming to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Somebody had that great idea. Let's put four interstates. But anyway, yeah, it was let's just say, smoke them if you got them in downtown. But we made decent time up here. Other than that one jackleg that was going 65 miles an hour in the Diamond Lane, Gwinnett County has given you your own private Autobahn. Why are you going the same speed as the turds that are stuck going 50?
Well,
I mean, what is wrong with – that's the loser mentality. That's a Braves fan who's happy, Carl, and not trading prospects to get Tarik Skubal.
I'll say this, though. I got a ticket in that damn lane before.
I've never gotten – now, I've gotten a lot of tickets in a lot of lanes. I have never gotten a ticket in the Autobahn
well,
lane.
Well, here's the deal, because you feel – like you're safe.
Well,
and
I drive with the flow of traffic.
So was I. And I literally, this happened a few years ago, and I literally, Mike, we're talking about the HOV lane, and I literally was, I didn't even know how fast I was going. The guy, and you know how that, like, when the cop pulls out and you're like, oh, hell, he's about to get somebody. And
oh,
then
it's
you,
me.
And then you realize it's you, and you're like, oh, woo. And I'm like, is it me? And then you start tripping like, what? I wasn't speeding. And you start talking to yourself, all right, let me get over. Hold on. And I get over, and the guy comes up, and he's like, sir, I know you were in the HOV. I know you were in the Peach Pass, but you were going 90.
Right.
And I couldn't let that. And I'm like, I was?
Yeah.
I didn't even think I was going that fast. I'm keeping up with traffic.
I'm going a lot faster than 90.
Well, I'm just saying. But you act like the Peach Pass is like this invisible lane.
No,
but
I mean, at least in my experience, it has been like the private Autobahn.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, it's good.
And if you see a cop, like, another thing is, if a cop has pulled somebody over and is in the process of writing the ticket, it's not like he's going to go, hold on, dive into his car like the Dukes of Hazzard and chase after you. You've established where the cop is.
Yeah.
Now let's drop the hammer, because it's not another cop for another 10 miles or so.
Yeah. Well,
using Waze or whatever your source is, radar, whatever you have, whatever you do.
I'm with you, though. I do like the fact that you should not be driving slow in that lane, though. I'm with you on that. All right, man. We were just talking about
and another thing. What grinds my gears?
Well, today was first day of school, so everybody was kind of, you know, Day-Day dropped his kids off. Big Mike Johnson, hey, guys. He dropped his. I mean, people were dropping kids off, and it changes your schedule, and then traffic's a little funky.
Right.
Mike, let's talk about a couple of things at camp today. And look, no specific – I'm not banging on any one thing to say, hey, this is what's wrong with the team. Understand, this is why you have camp. There are good days. They're bad plays, they're good plays, they're bad days, they're good days.
But you do establish your depth chart.
Yes.
In all seriousness.
Yes.
I mean, it's not sexy, and no one talks about the offensive line. Bergeron got his deal. We talked about it earlier, heard the conversation with Andy Randy. But right tackle right now is a big question mark.
No, it is, man. And Wanya Morris was walked off after appearing to have a treatment to his leg. He did not return. And again, I don't know, may or may not be a big deal. A lot of these guys, as Coach told us, they're gonna get scheduled off days. Jake Matthews got a scheduled off day. Michael Penix, you know, guys are going to get scheduled off days, but you're fighting for a starting position. You want to be on the field, and the guy you're supposed to be, you know, up against hasn't been on the field. But Wanya Morris, I just need more out of him. And I'm just telling you right now, like, I don't know if he's in the best shape that he should be, but this is something that's concerning. Mike, when you start having these little Luka-like injuries –
yeah.
These soft tissue, it's part of being in shape.
Right. And look, we don't know what kind of, you know, guy he is. We're just learning about him, right? I mean, some of these folks, it's funny. You always assume, like, okay, just because, you know, you've made it to the NFL and you are a player here, you're tough. not everybody is as tough as you think. I'm not saying that's the case with Wanya Morris, but we did have some guys over the past, and I'm trying to find the name real quick, from it was one of the Arthur Smith draft classes, I want to say, where we were excited. We get a guy from Michigan, and you're like,
oh, the big lineman. Oh, he was soft.
Yeah, Jalen Mayfield. Jalen Mayfield.
Yeah.
68th overall in the draft, soft as Charmin.
Yeah.
Looked the part. Look, it just is what it is. And you're like, how does a guy that big play that soft? It's kind of like the argument at times. I don't think we're going to see any more of it now. I think it's over. But Kyle Pitts at times, so physical. Use your physicality. Get the push off that's legal. You know, get some separation from the DB, man. Make the play.
No, no doubt. Drake London was being vocal today, whether it was on the sideline. And look, he is vocal because I don't want to make that out to be like, oh, he never speaks. Drake is always talking.
He's a leader.
He's always talking to his teammates. But he was vocal today and pumping guys up. And it was, you know, right there in our face, and you could see it and hear it. And then, you know, Jack Strand, man, he's getting a lot of reps because of what's going on with Michael Penix. So Tua, 11 on 11, we talked a little bit about it. We'll get more into it in the 5 o'clock hour. He looked crisp in the passes he threw. But the pass that had everybody going, whoa, was the long pass from Michael Penix, Mike. And it gives people hope, Falcon fans, like, that's the dude we want to see. And it happened right at the end of practice. But for Jack Strand, I don't know if he's not seeing it or whatever. But he's just holding this thing too long.
I mean, we're on radio, so I'm doing a hand chart here. So here's Minnesota Moorhead, and here is the NFL, albeit preseason. So
where he went to college.
Yeah, I was joking around earlier about, like, you know, Peyton Manning talked about the adjustment he had. He was blown away because, you know, copious notes and studies and everything else. And this guy, like, you can see why the Falcons were interested in him. He's a big dude. He's got a cannon for an arm. A lot of times, like, he's not seeing it, and he's picking it up and pulling it down. I don't know how that's going to work on Sundays because he's not elite speed.
No.
You know, like, Josh Allen can run over you, around you. But he's just got to learn, as you said, to pull in rhythm. And maybe he's trying to make this connection with some of these new wide receivers. But you see why they like him, but there's a lot of work to be done with him.
There's a lot of work. You talked to Braylon Trice. Was it Friday?
Yeah, we ran into Braylon during the scrum.
So he was getting more reps today off the edge, Mike. And, you know, I said to you, maybe even Dady, I said, they got to see – look, Jeff Ulbrich, and let's say this too.
Oh, by the way, Jeff is back today.
Yes, Jeff is back. And so that's it's good to see, but it also, man, it still hurts your heart to know he just lost his wife and, you know, he's trying to get back into the rhythm and
imagine
routine.
The high pressure, even of camp in the NFL world, to try to re-dial into that.
It's hard.
Dealing with – if that was your spouse, and you shudder to think how you try to – deal with it. Maybe sometimes getting back to work is the best thing. You can compartmentalize
it. Some people say that, right. Mike. It gives you purpose, right?
Right.
And but Jeff was back. But I say all that to say they got to figure out if Braylon Trice can play. We still don't know if he can, right? We think he's got a great body and a makeup and all the intangibles, but we still don't know, like, is this guy a player? So because of the injuries. But he got a lot of reps as well today at edge. If you're wondering about a guy like James Pierce Jr., I will just simply tell you he is getting reps. He is doing everything he needs to do, but it's not with the first team. And I don't want to point to any one thing. I will just simply say when the season starts, my guess is you're going to have your best edge guy out there.
I mean, look.
But he is not running right now consistently with the first team.
And you and I, we've had fans ask us every day, we see him at practice or here at Hooters when we're doing the show afterwards, is he going to play? Are they going to suspend him? I would think the NFL, they cannot, in the middle of the season, drop a suspension on him. I would like to think, and again, I don't know why it takes so long. The police report's out there. Unless my feeling is they want to see if he can keep his nose clean for a year, and then maybe they'll dole out the suspension then. They have a strange way of kind of taking their sweet time with this. And so if that's – you think the Falcons are aware of something we're just not aware of?
It's possible.
And that's why he's not rolling first? I don't know.
Well,
is it a form of in-house discipline for the transgression that he is not with? I don't know.
No, this is how I look at it, and I could be completely wrong about this. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike's got some guy talk coming up. 5 o'clock Falcon Report, as well as our conversation with our new field goal kicker, guys, and it's a big deal. Nick Folk joins us today. But, Mike, this is how I look at it. If I allow him to get all those reps – season rolls around and he's suspended. I didn't allow the guys behind him to get the reps to get them ready for the season.
Right.
And I'm not saying that.
So he's almost like an empty jersey in the sense that why give him the reps if he's not going to be able to be out
there? This is how I see it. I just feel like you're going to get your reps, but I need these other guys to be ready in case you're not here. And if you're not here, I got to have these other guys ready to play. If you're here, then everybody, then things fall into line and you play, and that's fine. But that's what I think might be going on. But again, nobody's given us clarification. And Coach, you know, Stefanski's like, look, he's playing, he's out there, he's doing what he needs to do, and he is. So that
if he was out there signing autographs, by the way, after practice today for the fans who made the trip up to Flower Branch. Like, if the league hasn't suspended him, if he's my player, he's out there. You know, he's had his legal process. It has to play out. He has to keep his nose clean for a year as part of the pretrial agreement. But still, would I be calling the NFL every day? Yes. Can I get some closure on this? Where am I going?
Yeah.
You know, I've got a season to play. Look, I get it. He screwed up. He created a situation, and the NFL's not going to do – their timeline's not built for apparently our convenience, but it does drive you crazy.
It does. All right, man. We got lots more to get to. Grant McCauley's going to join us as well in the 5 o'clock hours. We count down to the end of the trade deadline. Tonight at 6, it is done. Deals can still get done up until 6 o'clock. Braves have already made some moves. We'll talk to Grant about that. But what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man. We got a couple of things. People really are hanging on to this theory that the 49ers practice next to a death trap. I'll explain. An abnormal amount of injuries early at 49ers minicamp. Stay tuned for that. And Carl, a sport that I really have no interest in, but this story I found titillating. French female bicyclists perhaps padding their bras for an advantage in the Tour de France?
How?
Let's find out.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey man, Dukes and Bell on a Monday, guys, back here at Hooters Mall of Georgia. And come on down, join the party. Some of our regulars are rolling in. We got Danny Boy talking to Alexa Hente over there. The guys keep the planes in the air. And shout out to Chad. He just took off. Chad came in to say hi, and he drives all over this part of territory for like Braselton and over to Buford. He goes, yeah, I was over there that day. Y'all were at Buffalo's of Commerce. That's a wild crowd over there. Sure is. But anyway,
Coming, yeah.
But yeah, good scene. But anyway, thanks to Chad for coming over. And thanks to this guy. As we always say, don't feed the DJs. Well, maybe a little tequila won't hurt, but good to see you guys, and thanks so much for being the best listeners in town. All right, man, the Braves, we're going to find out next hour from our man Grant McCauley. Who are these guys? It is Lane Thomas, who you do know, and that's a good fit, Carl, because that's a right-handed hitter that can certainly do the job against lefties that Yaz struggles against, so that's a good platoon in the outfield. We'll also ask Grant about some of the depth chart things you and I were talking about. Are you just going to have to eat it with Hassan Kim? That'll be coming up around 5:20 right here on Duke's Bell. But Tyler Molly, that's how it's pronounced, from the Giants. Brent Suter, no relation, one less T and a higher ERA than Bruce Suter, who's in the Hall of Fame. All right, man, we've talked a lot over last season about some guys feeling there's a connection between this big substation. And look, if you've ever driven by a substation, there is a that comes off of it. A little energy, a distinct hum. And some people feel that electromagnetic forces or some form of energy could perhaps do harm. Some guys feel the direct opposite. It actually might help you in performance. Either way, 49er injuries through 5 practices. Mike Evans with a quad. Dazon Stribling with a hammy. Ricky Pearsall with a knee being shut down, it looks like. Christian Kirk with a calf. Jordan James with a rib. Kalen Black with an abductor. Kamara with a knee. White with an abductor. Mustafa with a hamstring. And I showed Carl the video. Somebody wrote, and I think it was Barstool or somebody said, he goes, Mike Evans catches a pass with the ominous power substation looming in the background. It does. Would you want to be in that environment?
No.
I got to be honest. I mean, if you're a kid and the football went over the fence, are you really climbing over that fence?
Yeah.
And is your football going to be jelly by the time you get to it?
Well, Pearsall's out for the season.
Right.
So he's done. And look, when you talk about these injuries, if you went in, and anybody can do this, go back and look at the injuries that have occurred
right. For
the 49ers over the last 8-9 years. I think you'd be amazed. And that's why, Mike, this phenomenon of why are they having these injuries? Is this a team deal?
Right.
And this practice facility, and where they're practicing and what it's around has a lot of people wondering what the hell is going on.
So stay tuned on that. Now, it's bad enough we can't get the owners to kick in for regular grass. Everybody was blown away by how beautiful all the stadiums look like with real grass for the World Cup. But this is one that, I mean, dare I say it would cost a couple million zillion dollars to move the practice facility somewhere else because they got some cheap real estate right there next to the stadium in Santa Clara. Hey, man, saw this story and I had to laugh because, I mean, it definitely grabbed my attention. News about padding bras in the Tour de France. Well, I guess this would be the female Tour de France, Carl. And apparently, there's a major problem. The governing body for the women's version of the Tour de France says there's problems in the peloton. Controversial bra doping practices.
What?
That's what I said. According to the German sports magazine Velofleets.
What?
It's called Velofleets.
Fleets, what? What?
WELERFLITS, Velofleets.
Well, okay.
The Uber magazine for women following bicycling reported Sunday that several teams at the Tour de France Femmes, as in F-E-M-M-E-S, had voice concerns of rivals wearing oversized bras stuffed with padding to create a chest fairing. In other words, it's like on a motorcycle, a fairing for aerodynamic purposes. So I guess they feel that this space where their boobs would be, if they give it more space, creates some sort of aerodynamic advantage. You'd think it would actually be just the opposite.
I agree.
And that big boobs would cause more reduction.
That's what I've heard.
Apparently not.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Pre-checks on riders' equipment, race and spare bikes, their respective accessories and devices, will be carried out by two appointed UCI technical commissaires. Sandro Coccioni and Alexandra Nohant, with the support of Magali Barbie. These are the people that will be checking the bras to make sure there's not extra padding, according to Wetterfleets.
So they're stuffing their bras.
Stuffing their bras. Teams were pushing for a female official to conduct pre-stage bra-boosting checks.
Wow.
In other words, come on over and go, and it'd be like Animal House. You know, when he finally gets her bra off and it's stuffed with toilet paper. Yeah, I guess that's what we're going for here. Wetterfleets reported at the weekend teams were very upset with this, feeling it was an unfair advantage. The 21-kilometer stage 4 is considered to be the first true test of the yellow jersey favorites at the Tour de France Femmes. Stay tuned. By the way, riders.
Now I'm going to be. I want to see this. I want to see this now.
It's like, see if it kind of. Just exactly how are they padding the equipment? Anyway, the UCI, Carl, apparently recently moved to clamp down on the use of jersey pockets to create illegal chest fairings. Who knew there was so much to female bicycles?
I had no idea.
Nor did I. So why do guys.
Are the speeds faster? I wonder.
I guess. I mean, riders, by the way, who were found to have fallen foul of the UCI rules on Tuesday at the Tour de France Femmes will face monetary penalties. How much could that be? it's the Tour de France for the ladies. Anyway, stay tuned. Let's watch. By the way, the Tour de France, I think it just wrapped up already, the men's side. I just watched
the crashes.
Wrecks. Yeah, watch the wrecks, man. Yeah. It's funny. You know, when it goes, it's always one of them. Just everybody
it's like
goes.
90 guys falling off a bike.
I don't see a guy's like femur sticking through a sprocket saying, yeah. You know, if they can make it through.
A bike accident like that's still funny to me.
We have lots of bicyclists that enjoy the show. Again, by the way, we encourage all of the bicyclists in Atlanta to use that bike lane on Juniper. We're paying for it. You better start using it. Thanks. Nothing like sitting in traffic for 15 minutes to get to North Avenue, so nobody can use a bike lane. But enough about my commute, Carl. How's yours?
I don't have that issue, and you do not like bicyclists.
I told you, me and Day-Day were at that Hawks playoff game. We beat the Knicks in game 3, and that's when this guy came up to me and goes, I was getting to the seat, and the guy goes, your takes on Twitter suck. I go, what?
Wow.
And it was some bike nerd. And it was a bike nerd confronting me about my takes about Juniper and the bike lane. I'm like, look.
He told you, huh?
And I said, look, Jack. I go, hey, Jack.
His name was Jack?
I said, hey, Jack Leg.
Oh.
And I said, where I come from, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Yeah.
It's pretty much common sense.
Thank you, Captain Kirk.
Spock said it. You don't believe me?
Outweigh the needs of the few. Or the one.
Or the one. Live long and prosper. I could never do that. I could never bend my fingers to do that. Can you do it, Day-Day? Can you guys do this? Yeah, there's a guy. Look at that. 1, 2. How many guys can do the start? Can you do the Spock? All right, we got 1. Oh, yeah, it's double whammy. Look at that, you guys, man. I've broken my fingers so many times. I just can't. I got to hold them out like, yeah.
Spock, don't leave me.
Like, when I hold up three fingers for Earnhardt, it really hurts. I got to go like this. I got to kind of do that.
Do that instead.
Go outside, nerd.
Just because you can't do it, Orin.
Orin, can you do it? Can you do this?
Yes, I can do it.
You can do it? Okay. All right.
Hey, man, by the way, a lot of guys texting in from Day-Day's comments earlier in Day-Day's segment about you, some knucklehead calling in a bomb threat to you doing trying to enjoy Spider-Man with the kids. And a lot of guys said they're not going to give it away, but they said, wait until Carl, you see it. Where is it? I had it here on my phone. Jimmy on Twitter and Jake also say it's the best Spider-Man, arguably, since the first one with Tobey Maguire.
Oh, yeah. I that's what I've heard.
Oh, we got a dissenting vote at the bar.
That's what I've heard. But, yeah, man, look, and sometimes, you know, these movies get overhyped, but the general reception of this movie has been very, very positive. So, yeah, I can't wait to see it in its entirety, and Day-Day can't wait to see it after he picks up where he left off.
Yeah, the other half.
Hey, man, Zach Brown Band was up at Fenway Park, and they surprised over 37,000 fans Sunday night. You and I were talking about this off the air, giving every person at Fenway attendance a free cruise for two. It's kind of like those Oprah shows where she goes, you get a car,
that's
and
nice.
You get a car. So the giveaway is valued at more than $40 million, was billed by organizers as the largest surprise audience gift in the history of live entertainment.
That's cool.
So everybody gets to go on a cruise. How cool is that?
That is cool. No, look, man, they've been doing great work. Zach Brown, they've done a great job, man. And
it depends on the cruise line.
Well, that's true, too.
Well, yeah, you don't know what cruise line. Well,
you're right.
You're going on Carnival.
Yeah.
We're guessing the Zach Brown Band will fly Spirit Airlines to Fort Lauderdale. Where you'll...
My status is on Carnival Cruises.
Well, you'll board the SS Botulism for a 3-day cruise to Exuma.
That's where Abe told Ra he was one time you were out and they were talking
what?
About Ra came in the middle of our conversation. We were talking about cruises. And Abe told Raheem that, and he said, you know, my status is on Carnival. And Ra goes, who takes cruises? It was the funniest thing.
All right. Hey, man, we spent a lot of time on it last week. Some guys think it's going to be a great big nothing burger. But the latest from the Senate Republican Commerce Committee, they're still trying to get the Protect College Sports Act to the floor and try to get it to a vote by the end of the week. They have had dialogue with the SEC and the Big Ten. Senate agenda also includes some, say, more important stuff, like Russia sanctions a crypto bill and some confirmations they got to nail. But, I mean, at the end of the day, most of the folks that vote, I think, well, that listen to our show would like to see this taken care of. I never gave it more than even money at best, but it seems like it's got a shot.
Yeah, man, I hope it does. Again, the momentum is real. I think most coaches, I think most athletic directors, people that are in the know who are looking at this are for it.
Right.
It's the red tape, Mike. That's what's going
right
to hold this up. That's what.
And look, and in the NCAA, a lot of folks are like, how about you just abolish the NCAA and let college football start from the scratch and build this up and simplify? Remember the NCAA phone, be the size of a phone book. For kids out there was this thing called the phone book. You'd look through it to find numbers. You don't need that anymore, but it's very big. Jerry Jones doing an interview on NFL Network, talking over there in Oxnard where the Cowboys train in Southern California, saying that he is considering tinting the windows at AT&T Stadium.
Really?
Players have been complaining for years in the afternoon, especially for the 4 o'clock window games, that the sun is blinding on one side. Presuming it's sun setting in the west, yes, in Texas. But Jerry apparently listening to the players and fans who've been complaining about this for years.
Yeah. I'm
not kidding.
Well, good, Jerry. I mean, it's about time you spend some of that money to do something like this. I think it'd be good, though.
Right.
And if you've never been, obviously it's translucent. So a lot of that just, you know, that sun angle, Mike, and we get it sometimes at Mercedes-Benz when the damn roof is open.
Right.
But, yeah, I think it'd be a good idea, man. And, look, if it's going to help his team, he should do it.
Hey, man, I want to give a shout-out before we wrap up Guy Talk. We're live at Hooters here, guys, at the Mall of Georgia, as Carl mentioned, up at Falcons tomorrow. So no Hooters Wednesday and Friday here at Buford. Shout-out to Monica, our zesty German neighbor, where you do the big dog palooza. I send the pictures. Sometimes I'll put them up on Twitter. We got like 8 or 9 dogs in the neighborhood, sometimes as many as 10 or 12. All the neighbors get together on Saturday and Sunday. We'll usually start at my house or wrap up at my house. We walk around the lake. Monica, she baked for everybody.
Oh.
You lived over in Germany as a kid.
I did.
Man, I mean, just something about the way they make bread and chocolate cake. My God.
Delicious desserts, man.
Yeah. So thanks to Monica, who always talks like this. We have a Braves trade, Carl. We have breaking news.
All right, let's get to the Braves trade. What's going on? Tell us.
The Chicago White Sox are acquiring catcher Joey Bart from the Braves.
Okay.
And what are we doing?
We are probably going to promote Sean Murphy to playing every day now. Playing
all right, so Drake DHs, and Murph's behind the dish. Well, Murph's been raking at Gwinnett.
Look, yes, and you got to make space. They love Murph. You got to make space for guys. This is what Mike was talking about earlier with Ha-Seong Kim and trying to figure out some everyday needs, you know, and again, well, you know, what's going to happen there. I'm very curious to see how this shakes out. So that's okay. I have no issues with that.
And we'll ask Grant. Everybody, Jimmy Jarvis is a fan favorite, but if you've got the platoon and left, Dubon plays short, Ha-Seong Kim gets cut, what happens to Jimmy Jarvis? You know, Jimmy Baseball, we'll find out. We got some options. And hopefully we're going to be, before we get off at 6, Chris will be on tonight, but we're hoping to hear about the big name. You know, we've addressed some needs, but you've got to get a big time somebody, Carl, is more than an innings eater. A guy that you actually say, wow, that guy's legit next to Sale. Well, especially if this team's got any aspirations of doing anything in October.
Look, at the end of the day, the playoffs are about can I hand you the ball and can you control the game? And if you can't, that becomes the issue. If you're throwing a guy out there and for 3 innings and then, yes, all hands on deck. But traditionally, that's what you're trying to do. That's what the Dodgers are doing. I'm handing Yamamoto the ball, Mike.
Right.
He's going to go control the game, and we're going to be fine. That is what we're missing. Chris Sale is the only guy right now you hand the ball to and go control the game.
The only thing about, and we'll get into it with Grant, the Dodgers, everyone said it's the worst possible thing. The conspiracy theorist in me says that the owners are more than happy to let this thing do. The timing of it was strange. It didn't go to the deadline. It happened way early. And everybody said the Dodgers have the deepest farm system. This wasn't even scratching the surface with the talent they had to use. The Braves or the any of the teams that were in the mix could have offered more than what the Dodgers did. It just seems like they're almost like loading the deck to give the court of public opinion a slam dunk that we need a salary cap.
All right, coming up, guys, we got the latest on the Falcons. Also, he's now a part of the organization again. Who are we talking about? Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.